afternoon. Today is Monday, February 9th, 40th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon is Humboldt County Superintendent of Schools, Gary Eagles.
Hey, happy Monday.
Hey, and it must be a no-tie Monday.
It is a no-tie Monday. I've been hunkering down over paper and digging through piles. And
budget?
It was a lot easier to do without a tie.
You don't get as hurt that way.
I don't hang myself when I see the numbers.
Well, it's tougher for others to hang you, too.
That's true. It is.
So you brought in a whole pile of stuff. Is this just work from the office
notes
you brought along with us?
Yeah.
Okay.
I thought we'd update the listening audience on a variety of things that are, you know, shall we say, in the news.
All right. We'll update the news then when we come back.
The flame of learning is lit daily at St. Bernard's.
St. Bernard's has openings for new children in our preschool and pre-kindergarten classes. Hi, I'm David Sharp, president of St. Bernard's Catholic School. St. Bernard's Early Childhood Education Center, license number 12540-2277, offers preschool and pre-kindergarten. We're open year-round from 7:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. Call us at 443-7705 to schedule a visit.
St. Bernard's High School and Elementary School, making a difference in lives for today and tomorrow.
Good afternoon, KINS. News and information time is 3:13. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Gary Eagles. But before we do, our quote this afternoon comes from Samuel Johnson. Sometime between 1709 and 1784 said, quote, This is five stupid words.
Wow.
I'm going to have some more water so don't gag on air.
Our aspirations are our possibilities. Well, I can understand why that might be a little difficult to say, but it's very meaningful once said.
I'm back.
All right. Good deal.
That gave Damien something to laugh about.
Something to plan ahead for. Yeah. Our aspirations. They're important. High standards.
I wish I had a Dean Smith quote.
For ourselves and others.
Would have been appropriate.
Yeah, it might have been.
Yeah. History Day.
Oh.
To me, history is probably the one topic, one subject matter that is overlooked. I mean, it's not really emphasized as much as what I would like it to be, certainly. You know, we talk about current events and all that kind of stuff. Most of the hints and tips and insights are from yesterday, not from someone in their opinion. but we hear it over and over. And history doesn't, it's not emphasized the way that many of us believe that it should be for critical processes as well as just for another part of the curriculum. Has history been squeezed out by the UCs and the CSUs and the XYZs that everybody tries to get their kids to go on to after high school?
Well, I think that where we've seen a little less emphasis on history, because it hasn't disappeared, but I do believe there's been less focus on it with the push under the No Child Left Behind for the federal government on reading and mathematics.
Well, you hear about math scholarships, biology scholarships, chemistry scholarships.
But history may not
be. What was the last history scholarship you heard about?
I'll tell you, one of the things that we have, we believe up here is promoting activities like History Day, which occurred at Humboldt State University last Saturday, was a real great opportunity for students to engage in the kind of in-depth study, Brian, that you're talking about. And more of our kids are participating. In fact, I have a couple of facts that I think you'll be pleased to hear. Last year, we had 270 projects with 375 kids participating, because in History Day, you can do individual as well as small group projects. This year, that grew to 425 projects and 550 kids. And Colleen Toasty, who is our director of our Rising Stars Foundation, which funds the event and also supports our young winners, to go on to state-level competition, was in conversation with the statewide organizers, and the statewide organizers said to her that our Humboldt County participation rate is second largest in the state of California for that event.
Raw numbers?
Raw numbers.
That's sad. I mean, not that it's sad.
No, it's great for us, but it does put it in perspective because we are second, get this, to L.A. County. And L.A. County has 1.5 million students.
That's the sad part.
We have 18,000 students.
Well, where's San Francisco and Oakland and Sacramento and all the big boys?
So I'm just glad that we're able to kind of step forward and participate. But it's one of the reasons why we are so committed to all of these various enrichment opportunities, whether it's Science Fair or Spelling Bee or the All County Music Festival or any of the others that our Rising Stars Foundation supports. You know, one of the other areas that we promote is, you know, arts education. And we've been doing that for a number of years now. My leader of that effort, Stacy Young, gave us a report at the Board of Education meeting most recently and said that approximately between 6,500 and 6,700 students were touched in some way last year by arts education, either participating in the Schools to Symphony or the Schools to Theater or the All-County Music Festivals, or participated in projects that teachers, arts teachers, art and music teachers had come in, gotten trained to do, and taken back to the classroom.
So is that
this year that
is
number
that a
will
third?
Well,
a third of the student body, or are some kids multiple?
Some of the kids are multiple. Okay. Could potentially be multiple, but that number this year, she's expecting to hit over 10,000. Now again, we have 18,000 students, and some of that 10,000 is duplicative, because some of the kids will participate in a visual art experience as well as go to the Schools to Symphony, for example.
Yeah, you could be in drama and
absolutely
in the music,
but. Yeah. That's an extraordinary number of outreach and impact to some of our student-oriented activities.
So rather than doing the pat on the back, which is certainly there,
well, I'm just
how about a kick, in the teeth for everybody else that isn't doing it?
Well,
I mean, I'd
rather stand up and be a model, but I'll tell you what I'm proud about is the fact that, once again, our kid focus in Humboldt County is just outstanding. And
but if you can do it in an area that isn't seeing growth, an area that that it doesn't have the kind of community support because the Bucks just aren't here,
right,
compared to pick a town in Sonoma or
Marin
or Napa, right, or what's going on? Are they just
question.
Not paying attention to this stuff? Is it that much extra hassle to have programs that engage the kids and participate in
that
these programs?
That could be part of it. You have to be dedicated, creative, willing to go the extra mile. And I'm very, very proud of our educational community up here. And I, you know, all public education systems take flack and criticism, and certainly we're no different in that regard because you can always do things better. But it is truly unbelievable the kinds of things that we're actually engaged in.
And we'll engage a little bit more. KINS, News and Information Time is 3:19.
Attention 6th and 7th grade students. Plan now to attend the Ideas at Work Middle School Career Camp at College of the Redwoods this June. Campers take part in fun, hands-on projects in high-tech labs, tour businesses, and explore careers. There is no cost for this camp, but space is limited. Learn more and apply online at decadeofdifference.org or call 445-7563. Don't wait. Sign up today at decadeofdifference.org and be part of it.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time, 3:24. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Gary Eagles. Gary, some of the different challenges that having a history day, geology, geography, spelling, English, math, all these various things, is the time factor. You know, you got volunteerism that's a potential way for the time to be less impactful during the school days. How much can be required, I guess, from a public, you know, because somewhere in there you've got the minimum number of credits you need to graduate. Okay. And then you've got the extracurricular stuff.
And you have a minimum listing of classes to cover. the curriculum to cover.
So could some of these things be taught or used, I guess it would be in lieu of some of the college prep courses that are offered? I mean, there's no, at least that I'm aware of, any advanced history classes, you know, an AP history. Now, there may be one
there
or two.
There are.
But as a routine or for something that junior high kids could take or do, and if they got a grade, passed, whatever the thing was, they got high school credit. Things like that to give them a little bit of a carrot, but also to say, okay, there are a lot of these areas that are available that really are important, and we recognize them, the community recognizes them. Now we want you guys to recognize
them. Well, actually, I think one of the reasons why we had a year-over-year increase is because there is greater emphasis today on project-based learning, and Colleen reports to me that more teachers at the middle school and high school levels strongly encourage their students to participate in History Day activities. Now, History Day activity itself, of course, is after hours, requires the commitment of parents, students, as well as teachers, because, you know, interestingly enough, one of the challenges we had is to find enough qualified judges to be able to review the information last Saturday. And of course, that's a wonderful difficulty to have, is going out and trying to find enough individuals that actually can assess the youth's projects.
So what would be a History Day project? Are we talking about papers? Are, you know, research thesis, that kind of stuff? Are we talking about interviewing and videotaping?
It can be all of those. There are so many ways. That's one of the creative elements about the History Day competition, because it isn't one size fits all. I think many of us have a vision about science fair where there's a research project, there's a board that is crafted, and there are certain elements that are part of that display, as well as a logbook of the research that's actually conducted. There's a great deal more variety when it comes to History Day, because History Day falls in a multitude of categories. It can be a written, it can be a video documentary, it could be an original play that's capturing some sort of historical event or personage. And so, again, I think there's like 7 or 8 different categories that students can participate in. So I think you'll continue, as far as Humboldt County is concerned, I think you'll continue to see these numbers grow over time as project-based learning is emphasized, as students see the relevance of what it is they're doing and how much fun in-depth study is. Because I think a lot of people get turned off on history when they just think of it in terms of memorizing facts and figures. You know,
the dry bones
stuff. In 1492, yeah. Columbus did something. Well, what was it he did and where did he go? You know, it's
so let's
just
talk
like,
about the ship.
Okay, let's talk about the ship. Yeah. Let's talk about the problems that the ship had with the crew and nutrition. Why did they do what they did? How did they respond to it effectively? No, when you're studying, whether it's expeditions or moon flights, it's important for people to really understand it in the context of the day, the era, and the challenges that we faced over time.
It's, to me, I can't imagine, of course I'm now biased, I can't imagine a subject matter area that would be more dynamic and more interesting and more passion developing than history. It just isn't there for
me. I think as long as it's you bring the relevance forward. That was always the secret I found with kids, is you'd look at something in the past, and then you'd say, now, what if we faced similar issues today?
You're in Ford's Theater.
Be? Yeah.
Okay, in the lobby, yeah. And some guy pushes past you going up, and you see a gun. What would you do?
Yeah.
I mean, just a weird example. But that kind of, so either projecting yourself in there or having getting to know the people and doing the research and doing the what if.
And studying the implications of these historical events. Why was something important?
What if Lincoln wasn't shot?
Right. What would
have happened?
What might have the rest of his term gone like? What were the kinds of issues that followed, and how might he have addressed the issue as president differently than the president that did follow him? Yes.
Yeah, I mean, just all
excellent
that kind
questions.
Of, you just play with that stuff forever and ever, no right answer. And but then you find out the background of these individuals,
no,
too.
But when you speculate the what-ifs, you do it based on a more thorough understanding of the time and place. You're right. I share a fascination with you for history.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 3:30.
Remember the music from your trip to Latin America? You are invited to listen to the newest member of our radio family, 1790 AM, a Spanish language music station with sports from ESPN and news from CNN Español. If you own a business, invite Juan listeners into your business. For information, call 442-5744 or go to juan790.com. 1790, tocando lo que le gusta.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:34. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Gary Eagles. Gary, the concept of some of these, and I hate to use the phrase minor subject matter areas, because it really isn't. But it's all part of the culture of what we have. Yeah, you look at these Night at the Museum, what they've done, three of those movies now?
Yes.
And they're all historical, and they've been well-received by the regular public. Now, maybe they're not getting the awards that everybody clamors about, but, you know, I kind of look at the cash register and go, yep, seems successful to me. You know, that there's that interest, and we don't really have a natural history museum on the West Coast like they do on the East Coast. You know, you can argue that, you know, there's some in L.A., and there's a couple larger ones on the West Coast, but we don't have something of that magnitude like New York City has. It's interesting for me to see the interest by the community and yet not have the ability to put and connect all the dots. I mean, has there been thoughts of, you know, whether with the Clark Museum or some of these others to kind of do a partnering of some sorts? Because they've got a lot of the historical stuff, at least for our area, that I would think some of these kids could really get excited about.
Well, I think we've tried to make some advantages of that. I know classrooms do visit the Clark Museum. One of the other things that we do have at our disposal is quite a rich collection of Native American artifacts. And I know that those have been circulated quite well through our various classrooms.
Yeah, they get used pretty regularly. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The, you know, it's fascinating. And for someone like yourself and myself who appreciate looking back in order to have better understanding today and, of course, predict tomorrow or try to, it is enjoyable. But there are those who also find mathematics and science and
all those other things that are out there. Yeah.
So,
yeah,
you know, you were mentioning history as somewhat being a second class citizen, as it were, relative to looking at curriculum. And
well,
I think to some degree that that's true.
Yeah, the SATs don't really teach or test hard against history.
But I do think what you're going to see with the new curriculum and the emphasis on the Common Core and on digital learning and digital research is that some of the subject matters that in the past might not have gotten the attention that they perhaps deserve, but they'll be a lot more engaging. You know, when you write a book and you get it published, if you're writing about history, when you look at the typical development timeline for a textbook, it's years from the start to the finish. And by the time it gets out, it's, you know, somewhat old hat or things are missing because we've learned since the time it was the publishing started. Online learning resources can be kept current and relevant and very rich in terms of their depth and breadth. And so I think you're going to actually see more kids engage in these kind of topic areas, and you and I won't be the only one that'll like history.
Do you like what I refer to as mind candy? Books,
mind
fiction.
Candy.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. You know, some of the whodunits and that kind of stuff.
Oh, yes, of course.
Yeah, isn't it interesting how many of those things are based on historical, and they interweave into it the fictional parts.
Yes,
you know, the historical fiction for me is
they fill in the blanks that you
textbooks
may not.
And they sell pretty well.
they
so just, there's a financial gain associated with this stuff too, and you can cross the disciplines. It just it's been one of those things that's been mind-boggling for me for years. Why history seems to get a short shrift? Yeah, and I know, you know, it's tough to go forward looking in the rearview mirror. I got that stuff, but some of the basic grasp of what knowledge is and where from where we came and why we came seems to be overlooked.
Yeah, well, maybe I'll be able to come up and report doubling of those numbers.
There you go. All right.
And I make you happy.
Oh, boy. So what is the, has the governor or the state done any goofy things to the budget since it came out?
Well, you know, it's interesting. We were looking with great anticipation toward a special augmentation to career technology education that the governor proposed. But then we saw some of the budget trailer language that, once again, would not make it possible for schools in Humboldt County to compete favorably. So we have, we're working with our new Senator McGuire.
Do you have a positive read on him?
Yes, I actually do.
I think I've not heard anybody who says, "Yeah, everybody sees him as an upgrade."
Senator McGuire is enthusiastic. He's committed. It's obvious that he's still new on the job, but he has a perspective, and I think he's very genuine about it in the fact that he recognizes that this is a big Senate district. And that he needs to represent the interests in Humboldt and Del Norte counties the same way as he's going to represent the, you know, some of the issues in Sonoma and Marin. It was interesting. We invited him up to speak to district superintendents on Friday, preceding his town hall meeting that he had Saturday morning. And we appreciated hearing his take on education and how he views it as one of the central priorities for the state. But he was there, probably shared another 20 different items that he felt the constituents of this district, of his Senate district, were interested in and concerned about, whether it was health care or social services, criminal justice, the issue with marijuana and the environmental concerns, infrastructure. When I listened to him discuss the various issues that he believes that the state legislature needs to have on their plate, the issue was reinforced to me how complex a job our state legislature, our state government has. And frankly, I was reflecting back on the term limits. Now, I have not been one of those individuals that's been supportive of term limits. And one of the reasons I haven't been is because of the breadth of issues that our state legislatures have to deal with, and it takes a very long while to get up to speed. But with that said, he has energy, enthusiasm, and apparently is willing to take the time to be visible here on the North Coast, and that's one of the things that I certainly appreciate.
Well, that's kind of the feedback I've gotten, too, is we've seen more of him than we did the last one.
Yes.
What, months to years? In reference, so you see, I don't know what his home life is like.
Well, I don't think he's had much just
yeah,
yet.
Yeah, yeah.
But he's getting to know us, and as long as he continues to outreach, and of course, one of the key aspects, and this is a conversation that I had with him, is that he can't be all places within his district any more than Jim Wood, our new assembly member, can. The key for those people are good staffers in the district offices. Throughout. And so I hope that he's very careful in who he selects to represent him and to serve as a communication vehicle for him.
It's funny. I was with you until you said staff. Because what I was saying is knowing who three or four guys in each county are that you can call up and say, hey, what do you think about? Not relying on staff.
Me. Well, but we need
just
some,
a quick call.
Well, that is true.
Quick call. No. So if it's education, maybe I got Eagles in the north and I've got Groundhog in the south, and we just talk, and if I have any kind of education question, I bounce it off my two guys because I have confidence that they're going to hit me with real.
Well, I would hope that we can develop that kind of relationship. I know when Mike Thompson represented this area, he would often call, or he would have his Liz Merguez, his key staffer here in the area, call. I can tell you that Jared Huffman has called me even since being elected to Congress, and stays in touch. So we do have representatives that have established the kind of linkage that you're talking about. Maybe they don't call as often as I'd like them to call, and they don't always take my advice.
Drop them a postcard. Haven't heard from you in a while.
But I do appreciate the fact they at least know who we are here in Humboldt County.
KINS, News and Information Times 343. We'll be back with more from Gary Eagles.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka. Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 347. We're back to talk shop this afternoon with Gary Eagles. Gary, before we got off the rail there a little bit, you were talking about the career vocational tech and the programs and the promises that you thought were there before the follow-up information was shared.
Well, the trouble is always that the detail there, the devil is. And what happened with is that the governor portrayed this money available, $250 million a year each for 3 years, and to transition from the old delivery system, which for your listening audience, many of them will remember the HROP, the Humboldt Regional Occupation Programs.
Many of us took it.
Yeah, yes, indeed.
And now, whether we remember it or not.
Well, let us hope so. Yeah. Let's hope it made a difference in your lives, because I think those programs certainly have done for many, many youth over the years. But the model for delivering career education is now shifting from organizations like my county office, who ran ROP, to a more diversified district-based program. And in that process, the funding is shifting from mine centralized pot to them. But in that regard, there isn't the same level of money coming toward those systems. And so it's not just the concept of decentralizing the operation of those and supporting more local district control. It's the fact that not enough money is being provided for career tech education, and they're very expensive. Not necessarily for the teachers that teach the classes, but in terms of equipping shops. Whether you're talking about lab equipment and computers, or you're talking about a wood shop or automotive shop or a culinary program, that requires a lot of equipment and upkeep.
Hey, how many Cuisinarts do you need for your baking class?
Yeah.
I mean, 20 of them, okay, $8,000-$10,000.
Or
they last for 3 years, and it's like a textbook. And then it's shot and it's gone.
Very expensive. So,
funny how I focused on Cuisinart, isn't it?
Yes, it is. You must have had one that broke down on you.
No, I've been lusting for one, frankly. Well, 5-10 years, something along those lines.
Well, it is a valuable component within the educational experience for youth. And very frankly, I see career education as being very important to introduce in the middle grades, not just waiting for high school for these kinds of courses to become available to students. But that takes money. So we saw this money that the governor had proposed to really assist, and then we found out it was going to be competitive grant. It was going to go primarily to those who were bigger than we are in Humboldt County. So we have work to do.
I know a way you can do it. Hook it to participation percentages in History Day, Cooking Day, Math Day, and all the other days.
Now, there's
a
deal. I like that idea.
All right. Finally got one out just in the nick of time. Thanks for coming by.
Thanks for having me, Ben.
Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow.